This morning, we were blessed to have been present before the Word of God, and we saw Jesus here on this earth. We see how he came as a humble servant. He came meek. And we know that as we have read what man had done to him, they placed him upon a cross, and the Lord of glory was hung on a cross. He was beaten, he was bloodied. He laid down his life. He took upon himself the weight of sin, which I believe, dear ones, that oftentimes we don't realize what sin is. The prophet Habakkuk says that, he says, his eyes are so holy that they cannot behold sin, and iniquity cannot be looked upon by him. Cannot be looked upon. And as far as God's holiness is away from sin, that's how far we are separated from him if we stay in our sin. And so Jesus gave himself and took our sin, that weight, upon himself. And the Gospels show him one who is meek and lowly of heart. And we see him who has walked this earth, showed us the way to glory. And in this chapter that we have read, we see Jesus in a totally different way. We see Jesus in the heavens. We see him in all his might and power. He revealed that in the flesh, revealed who God was. And he said, God cannot be known apart from me. And so when we think about knowing God, the Jews worshiped God. And yet, Jesus told them they're going to die in their sins, because they didn't know him. And so there is no religion apart from Jesus Christ that can worship God. And even Christendom cannot worship him apart from knowing him. You know, we came together this morning, we came together this afternoon. If God is merciful, we take it all for granted, but if he is merciful, we'll gather again at 7 o'clock. And we will worship him in song and blend our voices in four-part harmony, beautiful. And we worship him. And yet, we could have been present at all three services and leave this building, maybe emotionally charged, feeling good. We heard about Jesus. We heard about the resurrection. We heard about his power and his glory. We heard he will return. We feel good, and we may have never have worshiped him. We may have never have worshiped him. Because Jesus told, and we have to consider who he told. He didn't reveal this to Nicodemus. He didn't reveal this to his disciples. He didn't reveal it to any that were in his day. He revealed it to an adulteress. He revealed it to a woman who needed him. And he said, God is a spirit. And in order to worship God, you must. You must worship him in spirit and in truth. Apart from worshiping him in spirit and in truth, you cannot worship him. Jesus said, you must. It was one of the musts that he declared. He told Nicodemus, you must be born again. He told the woman at the well, you must worship God in spirit and in truth. He told Nicodemus, the Son of Man must be lifted up. Those are the musts that Jesus gave. And so as we read of Christ's death and resurrection, and we contemplate upon those miracles, and we consider who it is. This is who it is, what we read in this chapter. This is who it is that came down meek and lowly. And he went to the cross, despising the shame. It was the most shameful death to die. Shameful. A death on the cross. For the glory that was awaiting him, he went despising that shame and suffered for us. Jesus says God does not need emotionally charged service. Jesus quotes the prophets in a couple spots in the scripture. He says, I'm tired of your lip service. I'm tired of you praising me, but your hearts are far away from me. So the praise that we bring to God, God cannot accept it from sinners. He can't. He really asks for nothing from a sinner but to turn to him. Jesus makes it very clear that when we go to pray, and we realize that our brother has something against us, meaning I'm guilty of something, he said, just stop. Just stop, go, make peace, because you're in sin. Don't come worship me. My eyes can't behold sin. I can't look at it. You're as far away from me as sin is, because you're in sin. And what Satan wants to do to all of us, and he is the master deceiver, he wants to make every man in any religion that he is in to feel good. To water down, to bring God down to the level of where I am comfortable in serving him. And it's good enough. Like I said, we could come to all three services. There could be 100 of us. 10 could have worshiped him in spirit and in truth and leave entirely rejuvenated in spirit. And 90 can leave empty, but feeling good. Feeling good. Yes, Jesus died for me. I feel good. I read of his, he is alive forevermore, and to him was given all power, we heard, and you feel emotionally charged, and it quickly fades away. As we read, and as the brother mentioned in the prayer, what did John, the apostle of Jesus Christ, he says he was on the Isle of Patmos. That was an uninhabitable island. He was there as a testimony, for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Okay, you and I are here. Wherever you live, and I live. We are here as a testimony for Jesus Christ. John reveals to us what he saw. He's in the Spirit. He couldn't worship him outside of that. He has to be in the Spirit, or you can't worship him. Is it possible, brothers and sisters, that we kneel in prayer before our Creator and the words don't even reach the ceiling? And yes, if we're not in spirit and it's not in truth, God can't look upon us. He can't look upon that. You know, in the Old Testament, the priests, when they came into the Holy of Holies, they had to wash themselves in the vessels with the water to be purified, to go into the presence of God. Why is it any different today for you and me? It's not. Those are all symbolisms that pointed to the Savior and who he is and who God is and how you and I must be cleansed of our sins when we approach him in his holiness. The angels will never understand what it means for you and I to worship him in spirit and in truth, because he did not die for any of the angels. They are in his presence, and they adore him, and they worship him. But they'll never know what it means to be blood bought by Jesus Christ. You and I, who were in sin, who knew nothing of holiness, became righteousness by his atoning blood. The deceiver wants me to believe, and to you to believe, in a feel-good Christianity, which is a false religion. We know that it is Satan that put in Cain's heart to worship God without spirit and truth. He brought the fruit from the ground, feeling that it was good enough. There didn't need to be an atonement. No sacrifice. No atoning sacrifice was needed. How often would we say, God understands. It's what Cain did. He was a farmer. It's what he did. He brought it from the ground. He brought the fruit. But really, his heart was revealed. He who worshiped God, worshiped him. His heart was revealed. He killed his brother. If he had provided the proper sacrifice, meaning he recognized his own depravity, his own need for an atonement, and if he presented that, his heart would have been right. He would have been accepted also. But God cannot look upon iniquity. He cannot accept it. Cannot. And so he was rejected. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Do you know him? Do I know him? I know I've asked that question often recently. And it's never going to be too many times to ask ourselves, do I know who Jesus is. He hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. This is who God is. He says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come. And this is what the Bible shows us, and what the Lord did, what he is doing, and what he is going to do. He was, he is, and he is to come. The Almighty. Almighty. And dear ones, it was John who was in the Spirit on the Lord's day that he heard a great voice like a trumpet. See, we no longer see Jesus being humiliated and shamed on a cross. He died for man. He gave his life and he showed us a way. And it is the way that he says, follow me. And he says again, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And John describes that voice as a trumpet. Later on, he says, I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs are white like wool and white as snow. Isn't that what Isaiah that said? Though your sins be as scarlet, they will be as wool and as white as snow. We are made righteousness. Jesus Christ, who is, he says, we can see him here. His hairs are white and like wool and white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. He is in the midst of the candlestick. He is in the midst of the church today. And he is showing us today. God, the mystery of today, of the silence of God. Maybe man wants God, speak to me. Speak to me. No, you don't want God to speak to you. His voice is going to be as a trumpet, it says here. And his eyes are as a flame of fire. And it says, in his voice are the sound as many waters. When God speaks, you will hear. And you can't argue. It's a trumpet. It's the voice of many waters. It's God in his, he is almighty. He is coming now, not as a lamb. He is still the Lamb of God, but he is not coming as a Savior. And then we read many times over and over throughout the scriptures, the word that was left for us, he will gather his own. He will gather each one of us to give an answer for that which we have done. And it says, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. We know what that two-edged sword is. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Are you worshiping God in spirit and in truth? The sharp two-edged sword of his word will come out and divide. His word divides that which is just, that which is unjust, that which has been cleansed by the precious atoning blood of Jesus, and that which his eyes cannot look upon. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. I can come here and I can worship him and I can be looked upon by you as, whoa, he comes all the time. He's on time too, even early, and everything is perfect. He's worshiped, and I may never know him. I may never know him. All the Jews worried about is washing the platters and the cups. Do this. They thought they could do some good, but their heart, are you in spirit worshiping him? Am I in spirit worshiping him, the Almighty, the voice of many waters, the voice of a trumpet, the one who John, who is his servant, John, who was his disciple, John, who leaned upon his breast, John, who became his apostle, John, who dealt with him face to face, saw him die, saw him resurrected, saw him in his glory, and he fell at his feet as if he was dead. This is with whom we have to do. There's nothing good in you or me. There's nothing good in us. That we can go before our Creator and say, here am I. Here am I. Look what I did for you. I did this in your name. I don't know you. You didn't worship me. And I told you, you must worship me in spirit and in truth. Dear ones, that's in anything. We can be so busy like the church in Ephesus, and so busy. We can have programs upon programs. We can be looked upon as a church that is just churching. It's doing everything right and be void of Jesus Christ. It can be that way. We can cry crocodile tears. The seed is plucked away. The bird comes and just snatches it away. Satan came to Jesus. And he tells him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. That's all Satan wants. Just worship me. You can pretend you're a Christian. You can be baptized. You can be baptized again if you think it's good. You can do whatever you want. Just worship me. You can pray three times. You can face Jerusalem. You can go to Jerusalem. You can do whatever you want. Just worship me. Don't follow Jesus. He doesn't have your best interests in view. I do. Just this. Do this. Just this. And he's good. However small it may appear. And that is one thing that is so beautiful about our Zion's Harp hymns. Those writers of those hymns, we can see throughout the pages that everything is taken straight out of Scripture and put together in very melodious way, and we can actually be in the Spirit as we sing those hymns. It takes us there. It takes us there if we're willing to go. If we're willing to go. And to worship him in some of those hymns, it says, you know, to the smallest sin, however small it may appear, hate it, and flee from it. Where was that taken from? From the Word of God. It's the Word of God. It's what Jesus shows us. And this is the third temptation. And Jesus turns to Satan. He says, get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. You think you can serve the devil in some little manner? Him only shalt thou serve. And what does it say? In the previous two temptations, Jesus quoted Scripture. Here he said, get thee hence, Satan. What does Satan do? Then the devil leaveth him. Jesus says, get away. Satan left. You and I cannot tell Satan to get away. We can't do that. The way we do it is submit unto God. We submit to Him. And God will chase him away from us. God will watch over us. When I worship Him in spirit and truth, when I'm not looking how far can I push, how far can I go, can I do this? And, oh, my church taught me this, but they're in the dark ages. It's more modern today. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, the same today, the same forever. The one who shows us what He did, what He's doing, what He will do. It's all the same. It's all with no iniquity. It's all with no sin. It's all pure, righteous, and holy altogether. Everything. You think you can do something less? Well, you're not worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. Facts. Facts. If you don't obey Him, if you don't know Him, you will not worship Him in spirit and truth. How will we know Him? First of all, we have to realize our depravity and say, the Lord died for me, cleansed me, giving me life. And we must thank Him and love Him. And so then when I worship Him, it's coming, not the externals, not the washing of the pots and the pans, and not the making sure that everything's silvery clean. It's about being clean in your heart, in your thoughts, and that which flows from the thought in the heart and comes out and is displayed as fruit bearing children of God. When John fell at his feet as dead, Jesus said, "Fear not." Why did he say, "Fear not"? Because John was his servant. John was on the Isle of Patmos as a testimony for Jesus Christ. John loved Jesus. John was in the Spirit worshiping Him. And yet he looked upon Him and said, he couldn't be, his flesh failed him. He was in the flesh, it failed him. He fell at his feet as dead. And Jesus says, "Don't fear. It's me. I am the first and the last. I am He that liveth and was dead," we read. "And behold, I am alive forevermore. I will not die again for the sins of this world. I died for the sins of the world. I'm alive forevermore. Amen," he says. "And I have the keys of hell and death." And he's offering us, dear ones, to open those doors with his keys, his gospel, his two-edged sword, the word, the keys to life and that eternal. And it's up to us to worship him in spirit and in truth. So everything that flows from us comes from a heart that is born again. You must be born again. You must worship him in spirit and truth. And the Son of Man must be lifted up. He was. Now it's up to us. Now it's up to us to be born again. Because he was lifted up. He said he must, and he was. He said you must be born again. All things become new. All the old is old and passed away. Everything. Don't hold on to anything when you come to Jesus. What do you want to hold on to? You want to hold on to Satan. And you can't worship too. You can't worship too. May God bless his word upon our hearts in this day, dear ones, that we would come to really know him, that we would search him. Search him through the scriptures. Whenever you counsel anyone on the ways of Christ, do exactly that. Counsel the entire book of the Bible is written about Jesus Christ. Everything is about him. Everything points to him. Everything is about him. Whenever you speak to anyone, speak about Jesus Christ. He is alive forevermore. Don't speak about the creed of the church. The church can change. It doesn't matter. Religion is all, you can all change. But as the candlestick of God, Jesus is walking amongst us right now. He's saying, I know your works. And what are they, brother? What are they, sister? May God be with us as we go to him in the Spirit, and he will reveal to us with exact clarity what we must repent of in order for him to receive our worship. May God bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.